We're in James chapter 1, and we're planning on covering one verse tonight. In James chapter 1, we have a verse that should be a great comfort and encouragement to us, I think. It says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, which should be, or let me change it, it can be translated since. Since you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now our context is dealing with trials and difficulties, but the truth that is here would apply beyond that situation. He deals with diverse temptations or testings is the idea there in verse 2. And we need wisdom. The need for wisdom is everywhere. We are constantly dealing with this. How am I supposed to deal with this situation? What am I going to do here? We deal with all kinds of things, a lot of things that are beyond our ability to cope with. We may know the big picture of what's supposed to be happening or what we need, but we don't know how it's going to happen. One of the things that I mention from time to time is when you're dealing, if you're a believer and you've been a believer for any length of time, the very notion of going back and having experienced what you have, going back and being without God, without his guidance, without his comfort, without his direction, it would be a terrifying prospect. God is there to give us help and to give us ability. And if you lack wisdom, that is the thing that we're in. That is the position we're in. And we need wisdom for all different kinds of things. We need wisdom for our day-to-day goings on. We need wisdom for special circumstances. Usually we do a lot, we go along pretty good under the normal situation, and then something happens and we don't know what to do. Sometimes it's a decision to be made. What do I need to do here? And sometimes, but let's look at a couple of criteria, and I think I may have these in here. Under number 3, at the top there. Areas of neither right or wrong. Again, going back to the theme we've been dealing with in Romans chapter 14. So you got a fork in the road, and it might go 3 ways, it might go 5 ways. Where do I go? What decision do I make? What am I supposed to do under this situation that I find myself with? Because the choices, as far as I can tell, are not a matter of right and wrong. It's not an issue that it's very clear the Bible speaks on this issue, and therefore I have to do this. It might be something that is wide open, that we don't know what to do. So what do I do? We ask God for direction. We ask God for wisdom. I have never had God let me down under those circumstances, and I've faced them a lot of times in my life. I have never had God let me down in those situations. What am I to do? I have when, where, how, or when, where, how, and when. I didn't put why. I very deliberately didn't put down why. Because God doesn't always tell us why. Because we don't have to know. If you go to the book of Job, and we have the introduction where the scene in heaven and the devil comes, and there's the interaction between God and the devil. And then the devil goes and takes away all that Job has, leaves his wife with him, which you read what she says, and that's probably part of the curse. And then you have the wrap up at the end of the book in chapter 42. Nowhere in that book do you have Job told why this all came down. He just does. He just does, and he submits. And so, very often, God doesn't tell us why. We have needs, and he gives us the what and the where and the how and the when, but not always the why, because that's idle curiosity. It might help us. We might want explanations, But sometimes you don't need the explanation. I used to drive my kids crazy. I still do this sometimes. I drive my kids. It's a habit I have. I just drive my kids crazy. We go someplace. All right, get in the car. Where are we going? You'll find out when we get there. When they were little, we would go on, tell me guys, surprises. Where are you going? It's a surprise. Oh boy. And it was usually something fun like, but I wouldn't, and so they're trying to figure it out as we get closer, and I would sometimes take a back route or something like that to throw them off. We don't need to know. We find out when we get there. Sometimes you find out when you get there. And that's true with our walk with God. So the what, where, how, and when, but not always the why. Sometimes the why, but not always. Sometimes it all, you get through it all, and then you see the outcome, and now you begin, oh, okay, now I know why God did this and such and such and such, because it created this opportunity, opened up this door, and this happened. But even then, sometimes we don't get that much. Sometimes there's issues that are right and wrong, but we don't know it. Or might not know it yet. If I have choices to make and they both look to be equally good, and I'm praying about it, God, what would you have me to do? And then you find out that there is an issue with one of these, and that makes it very clear that's the answer regarding the other one. I want you to go, keep your finger here, and let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. We have a young man who comes to the throne of Israel. Solomon is likely not more than 25 years old at this time, probably younger than that. And God says to him, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. Now, you ask most folks that kind of question, and they think they might blurt out something. They might come up with some grandiose thing. I want my own continent, you know, or something of that nature. I want $1 billion. I want, you know, just go on and on. And that is not what Solomon asked for. Solomon has been put into a position of great responsibility. And he says in verse 7, and now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, which cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore, this is what I want, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and that Solomon had asked those things. And God said unto him, because I was asked this thing, and have not asked for long life, nor the riches for thyself, nor the life of thine enemies, and so on, I will do what you've asked me to do, and I'll give you the other things as well. But I'll give you the wisdom that you have asked for. And Solomon was given great wisdom. And we have the book of Proverbs, we have the book of Ecclesiastes, we have the book of Song of Solomon, we have, I think, two Psalms that are all from the pen of Solomon. God gave him his request. Decisions to be made. What am I to do? Sometimes perplexing, sometimes difficult. What am I to do? And we ask God for wisdom. What am I to do? Sometimes it isn't necessarily a decision. Sometimes you're dealing with something as a spectator. Do I say something or do I not say something? Do I give counsel or do I not give counsel? There's all kinds of things where we need the wisdom of God. And then if I do give counsel, or if I do say, I think, what am I to say? How am I to say this? Lord, grant me opportunity. Grant me wisdom of words. Give me discretion to know what to say and what not to say. May I not bungle this? It's one of the things I'm always kicking myself for is I'll get into a situation and then after it's all done, I said, why in the world did I say such and such? Or why didn't I say this? Or, you bungle it and you're asking God for wisdom to keep you from making a mess of it. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, because he's going to be the source of wisdom. He is, in so many ways, wisdom personified. It is one of his attributes that God is wise. Because what I want to know is I want to know what God wants me to do. If I have a, and by the way, this is all key to a yielded heart. If I don't have a yielded heart, then I'm not going to want to know what God wants unless God agrees with me. I've shared before, one of the things that you folks probably deal with this too. All right, as a pastor, I get people coming and asking me for advice. Actually, not that much. Which is fine. They go to smarter people for that, but they come to me for advice, and you get basically two responses. There's a few other things, but basically two responses. One is somebody that's glad that they came to talk to you because it confirmed what they were thinking. Maybe you're giving them something they hadn't thought of. Oh, man, I hadn't even thought of that. But the one that happens a lot of the time is they argue with you. People argue with you when they come to you for advice. Now, why are they arguing? Yeah, they didn't come for advice. They came for validation. They came for permission. They were hoping that you would agree with them so that they would say, okay, now I can do what I really wanted to do because the pastor said it was okay. But if I give them a different point, then they get all defensive and want to argue. And we need to make sure that when we go to God for wisdom, because God knows. He knows why we came to Him asking for wisdom. And if we came for validation for something that we've already made up our mind about for probably the wrong reason, God may not give us the wisdom. He may let us go ahead, okay, you already made up your mind. If I were to tell you what to do, if I were to show you what to do, if I were to direct you as to what to do, then you're going to go ahead and do your own thing anyway in defiance of what I have said. And so what He sometimes does is He lets us go on our merry way. And eventually it's like, how many of you like to blow off your GPS? Okay, all right, let's see. Okay, we got the hands. All right. Mostly my family, it seems to be. Now, if you know where you're going, that's all fine. But sometimes you think, oh, this would be shorter. And then you're going along. And I've had this happen where it says dead end. Where it says dead end. Or you come around and after you've done this whole big long circuitous route, you found out it was a big loop and it spat you back out where you started. I've had that, both of those happen more than once. God sometimes lets us do that so that we will learn that having our own way was not the right way. We come to the dead end, we come to a destination that we hadn't intended. But if we come to God with the right motive, with a yielded heart, God will tell us. God will direct us. Now, I'm going to talk about how God does that, because I don't believe that God whispers in our ear in dreams. I believe that God works in two ways. This goes back to God's revelation. How does God reveal Himself? God reveals Himself primarily through His Word. God reveals Himself in creation. The creation demands a creator. God reveals Himself in the person of Jesus Christ that's recorded again in the Scripture. How does God direct His children? There's two ways. All right. One is the Scripture. That we can go to the Scripture and find out rights and wrongs. If we have choices to make and the Scripture very clearly says that to go this particular route is going to be contrary to what God would have for His children, then we don't go that route. It's clear. And so we have Scripture, and then we have providence. All right, providence. What is providence? It's in Rhode Island. I know that. What is the concept of providence?
It's not a miracle, but unlikely.
We talk about opening doors and closing doors. All right. Providence is God's working in circumstances. All right. If I'm thinking about a job offer in another state and I've made up my mind, okay, I'm going to take the job that's been offered to me in New Hampshire. I'm going to go to New Hampshire. So I call the guy that had offered me the job, and I said, I've decided to come. And he says, I'm sorry we have filled that. You know what that is? Besides disappointment? That's providence. God closed the door. That is no longer an option. That's no longer on the table. We are seeing God's hand of providence as far as finding a meeting place, our own meeting place for Grace Baptist Church. We have looked at 13 different places over the years, and none of them have panned out. Either the building was way too expensive, or you'd be surprised, wasn't big enough. There's a fair number of those. It was a piece of junk. That happens a fair amount of the time too. Or there's just been some other circumstances. We looked at one building and said, hey, this would work really well. How much are they asking for it? $6 million. Okay, thank you very much. It's too expensive. We can't do it. God making it very clear through circumstances what we should be doing. Most of the time, in my experience, we're looking at closed doors, that God no longer, it's no longer an option. The thing that I was considering, I can't do because it's just no longer available. It's no longer an option for me. It might be because of my circumstances, it might be because of their circumstances, but it's no longer an option. There's also, when you're dealing with providence, there's also, it's actually sort of a combination of the two. We deal with best. What is best? All things being morally neutral. Morally neutral. I can go here. I can go here. I can do this. I can do this. If I do this, I get this as a perk. This is a perk. I'm going to make more money, or this is a perk in some way, shape, or form. I like this place or whatever it might be. I go down the list of all these things that are positive. And then I look at this situation over here. This one is more trying. This one is more difficulty. This one has more challenges, whatever the case may be here. But it's more needful. It's more needful for me to be here than here. It's more needful for me to do this than to do this. If it's a morally neutral thing, as far as it's not a right matter of right or wrong, I need to do the thing that is best. We talked about this morning for others. I need to do the thing that is best for others. When I'm at a crossroads, I can look at the thing that is going to benefit me and might benefit others, I don't know. Or I can look at the thing that is going to be a great help to others, and I've got to choose what is best for others, as we talked about this morning. I've got to choose that thing. By the way, when that's the route, always there's always a lot more satisfaction in that in the long run. That's where the joy of God comes in. So knowing the mind of God, we deal with circumstances, open doors and closed doors. We sometimes use the term from the book of Judges about putting out a fleece. What I'll do is I'm going to check and see. I'm going to jiggle the doorknobs and see if there's a door open. And if it doesn't open, then I'll just say no. By the way, if you go back to the book of Judges and look at the thing where Gideon did the fleece thing. And it was a twofold thing. Lord, I'm going to put out a fleece and let there be water on the fleece, but nothing on the ground. And so he picked up the fleece next morning and wrung out a bowl of water. And then he says, all right, let's do it the opposite way tonight. Let's put out the fleece and let the ground be wet with dew and let the fleece be dry. And he did that and came to pass. Now, was Gideon right in doing that? Now, God gave him... Why did Gideon do that? Well, but why did God put that test out there? Or why did Gideon, rather, request the test in the first place?
He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do.
In part. I'm looking for a different word.
The number of people that he had in his group was so much smaller than the opposite.
Yeah, he's looking at a seemingly impossible situation. Let's put this one up there. He was afraid. God, I know you told me to do this, but this just doesn't seem to make sense to me. Lord, I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, But I don't see how this is going to work out. Lord, I know that, and we go on down the list, I can't see how you're going to take this and turn it to good, or how you can possibly, if this does pan out, it'd be great, but I don't see how it can happen. One of the things I've been praying for as far as a building for Grace Baptist Church is that when it's all said and done, people will know that the hand of God was involved in this thing. That God would receive the glory, that we would have a trophy, a great, huge, monumental trophy of God's provision, of God's grace. That here's the story. Boy, you guys got a great place. This is phenomenal. How'd you land this? Well, let me tell you the story. This is what God did. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want something that is going to be an outstanding trophy to God's provision. And so we deal with, how in the world is God going to do this? Sometimes we're afraid. Even if we know what we're supposed to do, sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid to tell people about Christ. We're afraid to open our mouths and share the gospel. We're afraid to step out on faith and do certain things that we think we really should do. And the issue is fear. And Gideon went ahead and did what God wanted him to do, but he had to... The funny thing about, not only did he have the fleece situation, but then God said, if you're afraid, take your servant Purah and go down to the camp of the Midianites and listen. And so they go down there in the middle of the night, and he's hiding behind a bush or something, or a rock or something, and he's listening to two of these Midianites talking. And one of them had a dream. And the other one explained the dream, and he says, this is Gideon, he's going to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon's like, and then he creeps back. But he had the fleece thing and that. Because he's fretting the whole time. And then once it goes, man, it falls into place and he does whatever God wants him to do and it flies. But I'm telling you that all along the way, the guy was terrified. Is this going to really happen? I mean, this is just... I need to trust God and I need to be willing to do whatever God wants me to do. So we deal with providence. We deal with what is best for God's glory, for the benefit of others. And then the scripture. I need, and don't do this. You can, Judas went and hanged himself. You know, you can come across all kinds of, you can string together scripture to make it mean whatever you want to. This is not like rolling a die. Find out what it teaches. Because when we talk about scripture, we need to see what God says, because very often there are truths in God's word, and I don't care if you've been a believer for decades, there are truths in God's words that very often we're oblivious to, or we misunderstood, or we haven't seen yet. And we need to ask God to open our eyes to things that we might have a good understanding, which is why you have the last one there, godly counsel, because you can talk to somebody else who probably knows something that you don't know, which is why you're going to advice. And let's go to another place in 1 Kings. Let's go to chapter 12. We have 11 chapters of Samuel, or of Solomon rather. And now we come to Rehoboam. And I think I alluded to this not too long ago. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes talks about all the treasures and all the things that he has built, and who knows whether the fellow who follows me will be a wise man or a fool. Well, Solomon left all of his stuff to a fool. He took his eldest son, was made king, and his name is Rehoboam. And it says in verse 3 of 1 Kings chapter 12, let's drop down. Verse 4. Thy father, Solomon, made our yoke grievous. Okay, Solomon had high taxation. Solomon had work levies from among the people. And so your father made our yoke grievous. Made the service of your father and his heavy yoke. Make it lighter and we'll serve you. And Rehoboam consulted, and he said, depart yet 3 days and come again unto me. And the people departed. And Rehoboam consulted with the old men. that stood before Solomon, his father. Solomon's advisors. Can you imagine? You can't get any smarter group of people anywhere than Solomon's advisors. And said, how do you advise that I answer this people? And they spake and said, if you be a servant to this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. They'll serve you like they did your father, and more so. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that had grown up with him, which stood before him. And they said, what counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken unto me, make the yoke of thy father, which he did put upon us lighter? And the young men said, that are grown up with him, by the way, a bunch of, probably very well-to-do people who had lived in the great splendor of Solomon's kingdom and were used to, high living. They said, thus also to speak unto the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but if thou make, but thou make it lighter unto us, thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. My little finger is going to be thicker than his thigh. And whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scorpions. And so he goes back and he gives the counsel that the young guys gave. And this is where we have the division of the kingdom. He lost it. He lost it. You want good counsel. Rehoboam heeded the counsel of the young men. Why? Because they told him what he wanted to hear. Because the other one was going to cost him something. If he took the counsel of the young men, then he'd be able to continue like his father has and live high off the hog and have this splendid, amazing kingdom with all kinds of wealth and everything the eye and heart could imagine in the day. And if I do what the people want, then I'm going to have to cut my budget a little bit. And I may have to set aside the filet mignon and instead just have strip steak or T-bone. It's just, I'm just not ready to make that sacrifice. And so he forsook the counsel. When you're looking for counsel, look for godly counsel. Be willing to hear what people say, even if it's not what you want to hear. Because that's probably what you need to hear. So, the request for wisdom. Sometimes God puts it right in front of you. Sometimes we're praying for something that we already know the answer to because we're hoping for something else. As if we can change God's mind. And it says there at the end of verse 5, back in James 1, he gives to all men liberally. You ask for this, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you generously. He'll give all that is needed. Again, not always the why, but he'll give you all that is needed. He'll give you what is needed and why, what is needed. And then it says, who upbraideth not. God isn't going to chew you out for asking for wisdom. He doesn't rebuke us for asking. Now, I have some caveats here. I put down, provided we are not looking for alternatives to what we already know to be right. Again, we're trying to, does God make deals? Do we bargain with God as far as right and wrong is concerned? No, we don't. So we either accept and yield to what God has to say or we suffer the consequences sometimes of having our own way. It says, and it shall be given from God's bounty in God's... Now, let me put a couple of things here. Here's the caveats. If I am asking for wisdom, are there times, because it says, who giveth to all men and upbraideth not, are there times when God won't give it to us? All right. Let's look at options here. Why wouldn't God give us wisdom?
What? If we're not going to listen to him, why should he?
Okay. Let you have your own way. Yep. If you are determined to do something you already know the answer to, or you're determined to do something that is wrong, and you know that God's counsel from his word or whatever, or what you would hear from godly people and so on, is wrong, you're going to suffer the consequences. Drawback of having been in the same community for 30 years, I can't tell some of the stories because people still live in the community. I could tell you story after story after story of people who made up their minds that they were going to go ahead and do what was wrong and suffer the consequences down the road. over and over and over again. And so God may not, because you already know. You already know from God's word, you know that, that doing the thing is wrong. I do this with premarital counseling where I've got an unbeliever and a believer, and they're coming to me for marriage counseling. And first thing I do, I'll agree to start the process. But the Bible makes it very clear a bunch of places that a believer is not to be married to an unbeliever. And I will not marry an unbeliever to a believer. And so I don't tell them that to start with. What I do is the first session or two, I start sharing the gospel, trying to win the fella to the Lord. I have had that happen and then married the couple. That's Brad and Charisse, by the way. All right. But I've had others, and it doesn't get very far. Matter of fact, after I shared the gospel and the guy had no interest in getting saved, I explained why I couldn't marry them, and she did this. Because she knew. She knew. She'd come to me because her parents had told her, you got to go see Pastor Andy. But she made up her mind she was going to do what she wanted to do anyway and suffered consequences as a result. All right. So caveats. I need to be walking in fellowship with God. I need the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives. I need to be willing to do what God directs. Why? What is another reason why God might not tell us? It's not necessarily a sin issue. Yes?
Maybe he just wants us to trust him.
For what?
The answer.
Well, that's... Okay, I'm going to put something else up here. And most of us don't like this answer, but if we're in submission to God, we will accept it. Because we're in submission to God. I'm going to put two words up there. A lot of us deal with this one. Not yet. I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to direct you, I'm not going to open, you're just going to be on hold doing what you're doing now until the circumstances are ready. Very often, the circumstance is us. We're not ready for, and that'll be what we're going to be talking about next time in the book of James, because he foresees that. All right. So, not yet. I'm not ready for this. God can't trust us with the answer. God can't trust us with the answer. James says, because if I gave it to you, you'd consume it upon your lust. God can't trust us with giving us the thing that would be best because we are not trustworthy with the answer. I've used the illustration many times. If I had $1 million, I've heard this. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to God. I've heard that a bunch of times. I've heard that here at Grace Baptist Church. You guys are in need of a building. I know this. It's cost so much. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you guys for a building. Is that right? Yes. All right. I'll finish up with a story that most of you have heard before. A man named Ken Hay taught at Bob Jones University, taught in the what was then the Institute. Remember the? I don't know if you were there. Oh, you didn't go to. You went to Pillsbury. They used to have an associate's program, and it was in a separate building. And there was a professor there named Ken Hay. And in the South, you've got a zillion Bible preaching, Bible teaching churches. And on the east side of the South, there was not a big, even a medium-sized camper conference ground for the independent churches. There was something further west over in Tennessee, but there was not something over in the Carolinas, Virginia, or Georgia, or anything in that area. And he'd always said, you know, the mountains of Western North Carolina, by the way, mountains in Western North Carolina are beautiful, beautiful place. Gorgeous, one of my favorite places in the country. All it needs is an ocean, and it'd be perfect. But he said, and he prayed for years that the Lord would provide a means of getting a camp and conference ground there in the west, in the mountains of western North Carolina. He prayed for years. And he used to share this with his class. He says, man, I've got a dream. I just been praying God would supply that. This is my dream, that there would be something like that. And after class, some fella put an envelope up on his desk as he's walking out and says, there's something for your dream, and then walks out the door. One of the students. So he gathers up his books after, you know, the bell rang, and he gathers up his books and stuff. He goes back to his office and starts sorting out his papers and grading his quizzes or whatever he was doing. And I was, oh, that's right. So-and-so gave me an envelope. So he opens it up. There's a check for $1 million. This is like 1970, when that's some serious money. All right. And he's like, because the guy who put it on his desk is like 21. So he calls the records office over in the administration building and said, could you get me the phone number for the parents of so-and-so? They got him the phone number, and he called these people and said, let me give you the, I'm so-and-so, and I teach your son here at Bobbins University, and this is what I had been sharing, and I've been sharing this with all my classes for a number of years, and your son, after class, gave me an envelope. When I got to my office, opened up, there was a check for $1 million from your son. And the father on the phone said, I trust my son's judgment. And so Ken Hay put together a board, and they purchased the land, and then raised money to build the buildings and so on, and now you have the Wilds Camp and Conference Ground. Remember, the songs, by the way, in our hymnal are out of the Wilds. And they minister to thousands and thousands and thousands of young people every year. All right. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to the Lord. There was no board. The check was made out to Ken Hay. In 1970, he could have gone to the bank, done a whole bunch of things over the next couple of days, called in sick for 2 days running, lined up things, and lived happily ever after in Brazil. All right. Can God trust you with answers? Now, that was a big thing. But sometimes God gives us big things. Can God trust us? Are we worthy stewards of what God would have for us? Sometimes he gives us the answer, sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes he doesn't give it to us because he can't trust us with the answer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the testimony of those who have gone before us. May we have yielded hearts that we'd be willing to take the answer and run with it. Father, not seek another route, not seek a different answer that we might be more comfortable with or something we've already made up our minds about. But Father, may we have yielded hearts to do what we find you would have us to do. And Father, to be eager to please our Savior, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.